Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we're going to lighten up the mood a little bit. We're going to talk about a children's book. We always like to bring in some children's authors because many of us are grandmothers or parents, and we like to read these books to our children that have messages, because the world is not all as I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, thinking about, you know, life is like candy cotton and, you know, that little pumpkin that comes down the street and your prince is a frog and all that other stuff. Life is a whole lot more of a challenge for children these days. So we like to always share new authors that have come out and have a message or a story that we think would be a little bit more timely. Today my guest is Veronica Appleton. Her book is Journey to Appleville. It is a great children's book, very short read, and it's probably, I would say maybe, heck, I would say probably for the years of six on up, but now the kids are so much more intelligent these days, I'd probably say from the years of three on up, because kids are just grasping at everything. They know things that you don't even have any clue that they know about. So thank you so much for joining us today, Veronica. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's so great to be with you, Dr. Jeanette, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
So don't you think kids are so much smarter?
Oh, my gosh, they really are. I mean, they're learning math and science and so many different things at a very early age. And to your point about three-year-olds, six-year-olds,
yeah,
they're learning some really wonderful things in the classroom. And that's what it's all about. It's exposing them to great literature, to great science projects, to great history. It's all coming into one, and that's a part of their journey as they grow and they develop.
You know, it's so interesting because I can remember my kids are now 25 to 35, and when they went on to daycare and to kindergarten, they had to know how to count to 10, and they had to know their ABCs, and that was it for a six-year-old. And now I think it's almost required for a three-year-old.
Yes, I mean, they are learning some really awesome things in the classroom. And not even to mention counting and math and science, but also learning different languages, which shows how important diversity is in our country and in the world, just in general. Many kids are learning French and Spanish and German outside of their English-speaking classroom. So it shows that the world is changing, and it shows how important diversity is and the appreciation of all people. So it's awesome. I think it's a great challenge, right, for kids to learn at a very early age. And then it's also a really beautiful thing that educators are challenging these students, and parents are able to join in that effort as well. When they go home and they learn all these different things, the parent can also participate, which I think is pretty awesome.
But, you know, it's really challenging if you're a grandparent or an elder parent because we're not used to this, you know. When, you know, your three-year-old comes up and starts telling you about all of these things and you're going, how do you know that when I don't? Or can you help me with something? And they're like, totally have got it all down pat and it's already done in 2 seconds. I think sometimes that really puts elders at odds with being able to say, I'm worried about it. I almost don't want to interact with the kids because I feel like I can't keep up. Or I feel like, what can I contribute when they already know everything? So I think there's a real challenge these days to how we are all fitting into this family sector with everybody knowing so much more.
Right. You know, that is very interesting that you mentioned that. Even now, I'm 28 years old, And I can remember growing up and asking my mom or asking my aunt for assistance when doing some math problems or doing some reading problems. And they would also be quite puzzled. And I was also puzzled. So it was also, it was a very awesome time to explore with both my mom and with myself. So I think that that was really great. But there was also some really awesome resources that I had at my disposal, which were homework hotlines. Those were really popular in the 90s and even in the 2000s. And so you could literally call in, ask for help. It was a 1-800 number, and you can get assistance, which was really interesting. You can tell them the problem that you were having, and they would help you solve it. So I think that there's a lot of resources out there, even outside of a homework hotline.
There's now you just Google it, you know. Ask Siri anything. Hey, Siri, here's my problem. You know, give them your problem to get the answer.
Right. So I think that technology is starting to solve some of those issues. And I think as much as the parent, grandparent, aunt, or uncle is able to connect with that child that's in their life, they're able to build that relationship and that synergy to say, hey, I'm on the same journey as you. I know exactly what you're going through. I experienced it too. And kind of build a stronger relationship. So there's resources out there. There's ways to approach it. But, yes, I've been there for sure.
However, we look at the same concept where a lot of these problems and the kids get used to just finding answers elsewhere, and yet we think that the kids have all, quote, grown up. Or they are smarter than their age, yet they are still children and they are still growing and learning things, and there's quite a bit that they don't know, and there's quite a bit that they need to express and experience and challenge and go through. And I think that's where children's books like yours would fit in, because the concepts that we may believe that they understand, they know, they may not, because that part of their brain has not developed yet. You know, any... we see all of these YouTube videos where an infant is scrolling the pages over on the phone and we're going, oh, that's a great thing. Well, that's not really a great thing, you know, not all the time. So we think about what do the children know or not know. And tell us a little bit about your book, Journey to Appleville, and the story behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really hit on some interesting points about the things that kids do know, but we may not know that they actually know those different topics or those different ideas. And what I wanted to do with Journey to Appleville is create a story that represented opportunity and it represented success, and giving kids an opportunity, and their families even, an opportunity to read a book that would take them on a journey to somewhere where they've never been before. They've heard a lot of great things about it, but they've never been there, and they have an idea in mind. They have a passion. One of the characters in the book, Cassie and Lulu and Pedro, they all have these different interests in owning their own zoo or being a magician or learning how to use sign language when talking to their parents. So there's these different concepts of children wanting to be greater and wanting to be better and take things to the next level in how they communicate with their parents, and even how they share their dreams with their parents. So I think that there is a lot of opportunity for parents to be even more open with the dreams that they have and with the dreams that their children have. And finding a meeting of the minds, I think that's all very important. But Journey to Appleville can be used as a tool to do something like that, to have those conversations and to use it as a tool to say, hey, I know that you have something in mind. I know that you've been playing tennis a lot. I know that you've been playing baseball a lot. Is that something that you're interested in? Well, I see that you're writing quite a bit. I see that you're doing X, Y, and Z. So it's giving a kid an opportunity to say, these are the things that I really love doing, and then using Journey to Appleville as a tool to assist in those conversations, which I think could be really great.
Let's talk about the Appleville Fairy and what she asks.
Yeah, so the Appleville Fairy is a wonderful character in the book. She's someone that all of the children meet when they finally reach Appleville, And while there, the Appleville Fairy asks the children what they would like to do, not only with their lives, but what do they want to do just in the future? What dreams do they have? What do they want to accomplish? And once the Appleville Fairy asks that question, all of the kids, they provide an answer. And as previously mentioned, some of the kids would have a dream of owning their own zoo or learning a lot of different things like math and science. So they're able to share what they are really passionate about with the Appleville Fairy. And it's not like a magical mystery that the Appleville Fairy immediately helps the children, but she provides them an opportunity to explore different ways to do so, which I think is really great. And it takes form of a parent, right? A parent, aunt, uncle, all of these beings within a child's life has an impact. And if you are able to provide a child a tool in order to be successful, hence the case of the Appleville Fairy providing golden apples, then you're giving them the torch, right? You're giving them an opportunity to be successful and to have those tools, which I think is really great.
But it's also, too, we want to look at it and we want to say that sometimes these children's stories and adventures will also bring up something in a child that maybe they don't know was inside of them to speak.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you say, well, what is your goal? What does a goal mean? And then you read the story. What is your fear? Are you scared? What are you thinking? Would you like to take this adventure? And all of these are open-ended questions to children where you just never know what's going to come out of their mouth. And I think that when you have a story like that, you're able to say, what's in there? What's in the child?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just sitting down saying, hey, what's your goal? And they're like, you know, just mom again or whatever, I don't care. You know, when you go through the story, you kind of are on that adventure with them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's great when we create a book that does not try to teach a child anything. It doesn't try to say, hey, do X, Y, and Z. It's really giving kids an opportunity to explore and to engage while having that ending and lasting message where they have the ability to do anything that they want to do and to believe that they can, right? Because we want to instill in every child, whatever color, whatever form of ability, however you look, that you can be successful. That's really it. And even as an adult, you know, sometimes we feel as if we can't be everything that we've dreamed to be, that we only have to move in one path. It's completely false. We have so many opportunities to be exactly what we want to be. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of economic issues that you may face, or there are certain things in your path that may not be working out. But if you have that end goal, hence the children traveling to Appleville and finding their goal and getting there, everyone has their end goal. And if you have that, you can be successful. That's really it. I hope that Journey to Appleville touches children and touches their families, where that message gets across, that you can do any and everything that you would like to do and that you believe that you can. That's really the message.
Yeah, because really if you look at it, so many times we don't want children's goals and fears to be jaded by the parent. So sometimes it's good to take them out of that instead of saying, oh, this is my story and what is yours. Instead, you take them through a childhood story where it's a different context, it's a different dynamic, it's a different energy around it, and you're able to see what they may come up with at that point, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I think it gives kids an opportunity to explore, right? You know, use their imaginations to kind of take them to a different place. And it's helpful when you do that because it pushes them past their current limit. Right, you're teaching them that they can go further than they believe that they can. So it's equipping them to be successful in all forms of life, whether personal health or emotional health, physical health, and then, of course, professional health.
And let's talk about goals for a second. We think of goals and people say, oh, don't you want to be a doctor? Don't you want to be this? Don't you want to be that? Children are more immediate. They want to say, I want to be able to pass my test tomorrow. I want to be able to kick that ball this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't thinking about, you know, future goals or and all this other stuff. And then the parent jumps on the same bandwagon as them and kind of like redirects their life. You know, we want to say that let the children be able to create that own journey on their own. So I think in this book, you know, you can each revisit this all the time. You know, in the back you have a page where you can write down an answer. And if you write children to write their fears or their goals down on that page,
mm-hmm.
you can date it and revisit it, you know, revisit it
exactly.
in 6 months or a year, because it's almost like saying, cool, you thought about this there, you know, last year, and it's like, what would you think this year? Oh, I want to do something different, you know, and every
mm-hmm.
year you could see how the child has grown or had different experiences.
Yes, absolutely, and you can kind of think of that last page of the book as a journal, right? You're putting
right.
your entries in there, and you're saying, on this date, this is what I feared, this is what I wanted to accomplish, and looking at it a year later and seeing what you have accomplished and how you've handled certain situations. It's all about a part of growth, which I think is really great. And it gives kids an opportunity to say, hey, I'm growing. I planted the seed a year ago. And here
right.
I am now, I'm 7, I'm 8, I'm 9 years old, and I was able to get on the soccer team. I was able to play tennis. I was able to spend more time with my brothers and my sisters. So it's a lot of goals being set and goals being met.
Yeah, and also, too, they're able to keep it and then have it for their own children. They could say, oh,
mm-hmm.
cool, you know, when I was 2 years old or 3 years old, I thought about that, too. Or, gosh, look at what I thought about. Isn't this exciting? And, you know, and kids will have their own ways of being interpreting that. But we just
yeah.
don't want to set it in stone that, you know, our kids have to be what we want them to be.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not placing them in a small box of what we want them to be, what we want them to look like.
Right.
They have their own identity, and I think that we need to instill that in every child, that your identity is unique. It's unique to who you are. It's unique to your beauty. It's unique to your mindset. It all combines into being the perfect version of yourself.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, when you want to hear a child and what they're going to come out, what they're going to say. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's different with the age groups, because I can remember, you know, when I was little, it was sort of like, oh, I want to fly like that bird, or I want to, you know, in other words, it was very limited, because we only had what we would read in the library at the books, because that's all there was.
Mm.
TV was new. There was no internet. So you really only, as many generations and decades, you only know options or opportunities as you're exposed to them. Whereas now children, you know, they see the internet and they're like, oh, cool, did you see that little kid over in Israel? Did you see what he did? And it's like, whoa. You know, I only remember what I could read in the book. It was Nancy Drew's, and they were in the library on the corner, you know. So it
right.
is a great time for expansion of our thoughts and our minds, and to see how far the children can think about things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up another really great point about technology and how important it is now. I've heard multiple stories from my aunts and my mom and how they grew up, similar to you, Dr. Jeanette, where
right.
you know, you had books, you had magazines, you had newspapers. You didn't really have too much of the technology that we have today. So I think it's a great trajectory, and I love the direction that the country and the world even is going. But I am also seeing how important it is to have printed literature, a book that
right.
a child can hold, a book that a mom or a dad can hold. It's something to really connect with your son or daughter with. So I think it's great to still have printed books. But then
yes.
similar to some of the things that I'm working on is educational games to get kids interested in using technology for the good and using technology to learn more about their goals and accomplishments and taking it a little further. So I'm excited about where Journey to Appleville is heading. It's taken a journey of its own, which is really great and symbolic of how important it is to instill goal-oriented dreams into children and the value of printed work.
Yeah, because it's such a disposable world. You know, people will post something and they'll move on. When you have a book, at least it's still on the shelf and there's some sort of document or that you'll have for years. I mean, gosh, we all know when you buy a new computer, where does all the old information go, you know?
Right.
La La Land and that cloud kind of stuff, you know? So people never really access it again, and I think having a book is really a great asset for children.
I truly, truly believe so. And even within Journey to Appleville, there's also a page in the very front that gives a child or their parents an opportunity to inscribe their name. And so it's a very old school, very nostalgic feel of this book belongs to. I think that was very important because I had a lot of opportunities to place my name in the books that I was reading, whether it was Disney or Dr. Seuss or anything. Sky's the limit. I was able to put my name in there. So I wanted to do that with Journey to Appleville as well, in addition to the small activity at the back of the book that challenges readers to explore their fears and their goals.
Cool. How about, have you done other books before?
No, actually, this is my very first children's book that I've published. I have a full collection that I like to call the Appleville Collection of 16 books. So they're all unpublished, but all written. Working on the illustrations, and I just can't wait to release more work. There's been many times where I've been told from parents that children are starting to identify themselves with the characters in the book, and that means the world to me because it's great when you have a lot of parents and aunts and uncles interested in the book, but it's when a child is able to connect with the characters and connect with the story is when you can really see how powerful the book is because it shows a true telling story that the message is getting clear and it's getting to the right children and the right family. So that means the world to me.
It's absolutely wonderful. Veronica, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. You can reach me at applevillebooks.com. You can find out as many details as you need on my website, and you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. I look forward to hearing from all of you soon.
That's really great. You know, I think sometimes when we open up a conversation, I think sometimes people are really, really afraid because they say, I don't know what to do with the information I get. And I think, you know, that because it really is important. You know, sometimes people will say, I don't want to ask them what their fears are because then what do I say? Or I don't want to ask them about their goals because it might be too lofty and I know they can't do that. And I think we also need to remember when we're doing and reading children's books is that it's not about our fears. It's not about our inhibitions, and it's not about our experiences or all of our other stuff. It's always about the kids, and to try to remember that.
Absolutely. I think that as long as we're able to build that strong relationship with our children, with our families, we will definitely build a world strong in literature, strong in appreciating the goals and the dreams of others. And being happy about the diversity that every person brings to the table. That's what's important. And we need to instill that in every child going forward.
Yeah, because once they start meeting up with other kids and they start challenging that, that's a real tough place to be. So if kids can be a little bit more firmer in who they are, you know, it's a little bit easier when someone tries to rattle your tree, don't you think?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, Dr. Jeanette.
I know. It's definitely interesting, I'll tell you, when they get out there. Well, Veronica, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today to talk about your book, and I really think it's a great asset to be able to look at it and say, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, it is an option. Other than, as I've said in the beginning, that little pumpkin that comes down the road and your prince is a frog doesn't always work. So, especially not these days, right?
Absolutely. I am so happy that you said that, and it's been such an opportunity talking to you. It's been a delight. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to find out more information about Veronica's book, it is Journey to Appleville, but written by Veronica Appleton. The link is on the bottom of today's show page to her links to find out more about her work and to purchase the books. And it definitely is about being able to open up and listen to other people instead of always talking. Sometimes you just need to be quiet and see what's coming out of the other person. You just never know. You might be surprised, because it's always about being heard. It's not always about being spoken to. So do read the books to your children or to your grandchildren and see what comes out and what their fears and their thoughts might be. You might just say, you know, I never knew that, and I'm sorry, or I encourage that, or how can I help you, or what can we do to make your life just a little bit easier? Kids still are growing up fast, but they always do, and they may still have a problem too, just like we do. You just never know. So thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow on Wellness Radio, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.